The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. You know, every episode, I'm trying to bring you guys amazing women, super women, in fact, who have had incredible journeys into their own health and have emerged stronger and the more better and more powerful for it. Today, we've got Kristen Bomer, who's the founder and creator of Living Loving Paleo, and from her own experience, is a true believer that food can be powerful medicine. Kristen was diagnosed with Crohn's disease at 12. After years of living her life severely ill, she took back control of her own health and completely transformed her life by changing her diet and lifestyle. Common themes for us. She works to inspire others by making healthy changes in their own lives, and she believes we all should know what it's like to feel our absolute best. Her biggest mission is to share her story and knowledge with the world, as so many are needlessly suffering, just like she once was. I could not agree more. Welcome to the show, Kristen. We are excited to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, tell us, we've got people listening who may be going through all kinds of different things. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's mental. But at the end of the day, you know, all of this adds up. It's cumulative, and it prevents us from being who we were really meant to be. Tell us a little bit about your story. You get diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which I've seen in practice, you know, frequently. We have a pretty large population of Crohn's and ulcerative colitis patients, but you get diagnosed at age 12. Kind of fill us in on what your journey was like through your childhood, through adolescence, you know, going into college, and where you've landed.
Oh, man, it's been quite the journey. So I was diagnosed in 1997 when I was 12 years old, and I went from being just your total normal, happy child to losing 30 pounds in a month and just very, very, very sick. And it was kind of like this flu that wouldn't go away with severe stomach pain. And I was very fortunate because back then in 1997, Crohn's wasn't as popular as it is now, where most people seem to know what it is. Mm-hmm. And you know, it would take years for people to be diagnosed. And I was so fortunate because my pediatrician, his roommate in medical school had Crohn's disease. So when I told him my symptoms, he immediately knew what to test for. He pretty much knew what I had. And so I was diagnosed right away, put on medications, you know, admitted to the hospital shortly after. My Crohn's was very difficult to manage in the beginning. And taken off food and all of these different things that happened, and it kind of became my instant new normal. And I kind of just thought that's how it would be throughout my entire life. And I just thought, you know, I would take medications, and, you know, throughout my adolescence, one medication would stop working, as they always did. And I would just start a new one. And it was kind of, you know, no big thing. Like, it's just kind of how my new normal became. And it
Through this journey, you know, when you get diagnosed and you're trying all these different medications, were you in and out of the hospital quite a bit as well? Did you have a lot of flares, and did you have to have surgery as well, like some of my patients have had?
Yeah. So as of now, I've had 5 surgeries, but during, when I was a child, I actually didn't have any. I was in the hospital when I was 12 years old, and then again when I was 14 years old. And then actually throughout high school, I was on a medication that kept me in remission and had very few side effects. So actually hardly anyone knew I was sick. And that's, you know, when you're in high school, you just want to be normal. And that's kind
you
of how I preferred
normal.
It.
Yeah.
Exactly. You just want to fit in.
So high school was okay for you then, it sounds like. So
High school was definitely okay. I noticed, you know, if I would get sick, it would take me longer to recover than any of my friends. But other than that, I had no Crohn's flares throughout high school, which is really nice. And so it was shortly after I actually met my now husband. After high school, I was 18. And about 6 months into us dating, the medication that I was on throughout high school stopped working. And I instantly went out of remission and became very, very sick again, and kind of threw him into my world of hospitals and doctors. And started a brand new medication, and that one worked well again. And then it was when I was 21, and I was actually just starting school for fashion design. And that was the first time in my entire life that I really started to see the dark side of the medication. And I woke up one morning, I had a sinus infection, didn't really think anything of it. I'd lost my voice. And a couple weeks later, the sinus infection was not going away. It was only getting worse, and I still had no voice. So I went to the doctor, and they prescribed antibiotics, you know, normal protocol. And were at the time not connecting my medication I was on with the sinus infection. Mm-hmm. And so I took the antibiotics, my voice came back, everything went away, thought everything was fine, stopped the antibiotics, and within a week, everything came right back. I lost my voice, and I got another sinus infection. And so antibiotics started to become my brand new normal once again. And I was actually on antibiotics for about 6 years straight.
Oh my gosh.
I was on 30-day courses of antibiotics. I would take a week off, 30-day course of antibiotics, week off. So you can imagine how my gut was probably
Absolutely.
Feeling at that time.
Now, is this all because the medication you were on was suppressing your immune system? Is that why you were getting so many sinus infections over and over again?
It was partly to do with that. And the medication that I was on is actually now, it was brand new when I started taking it. So I didn't know all of the full long-term side effects from it at the time. And it came out years later that the medication I was on actually causes serious sinus infections. And it was in, it was in 2010. So I had finished fashion design school. And keep in mind, I actually lost my voice for a year and a half. And no doctor could explain why. And the only time I had a voice was when I was on antibiotics. But if I went off antibiotics, my voice went away. So I was often doing presentations in fashion design school and whispers and just kind of doing whatever I could to get through. And
well,
so
what was the explanation for losing your voice? Like, what were people telling you? It was just
they
the
had
sinus
no
infection?
Explanation. I was just passed around from doctor to doctor to doctor. And thankfully, I had a GI doctor that was, you know, really on my side and really at a point where I'm not taking no for an answer, because a lot of doctors kind of thought I was crazy. It wasn't until they did a scope of my sinuses that they realized that they basically told me it looked like I had Crohn's disease in my nose and throat. That's how severely torn up it was. And so in 2010, I had finished fashion design school. I was working as a fashion designer. And I was just kind of getting sicker and sicker and sicker and just pushing my way through. I mean, I knew how to smile through just about anything at that point. And my doctor ended up sending me to the ER, and he actually thought that I had a blood clot in my lung due to some symptoms I was having. I was having severe pain in my side and all sorts of other things. And through random testing, they found that I actually had fungal growth spots in my lungs, and that was caused by the same medication that I was on that was causing the sinus infection. Mm-hmm. And these fungal growth spots have killed tons of people. And I was very, very fortunate that they ended up going away on their own. So I was taken off that medication immediately when I was in the hospital and just watched over that time. And that became the very first time in my life that I stopped the medication, and there were literally no more new medications. Because before that, it was, I stopped the medication, I go on the new medication. Stopped the medication, go on the new medication. And this was the first time there were no more options.
Wow.
So I was placed on a medication that I was on when I was 14 years old, and it just no longer worked the way it did back then for me. Mm-hmm. And so my Crohn's became nearly impossible to control. And I was put on antiinflammatory steroids and things like that. And my doctor was talking to me about having surgery, and I'd already had part of my colon removed in 2007, actually shortly after I got married. I had an obstruction back then, and I was just, you know, ultimate absolute, no, I'm not having 6 feet of intestine removed. I'm not absolutely not doing that. And so over the course of that year, I ended up being pretty much forced to leave my job as a fashion designer. I could no longer work. I was just so sick throughout that fall. I started in the hospital with obstructions in my large intestine.
And
obstructions
are
very, very dangerous.
How old are you at this point? So you are
26 at that point.
26. So 1997 is the diagnosis for everybody listening. Mm-hmm. You know, you did well through about 18 on medication. And then it sounds like 6 months after that, things start to fall apart. And so now you're at 26, having, you know, it sounds like the recommendation to have surgery and without a lot of options, you know, so that's a long journey. So tell, you know, fill us in, what happens next?
Oh my goodness. It was a crazy ride. It was the most difficult decision I've ever made in my entire life. And it was, I believe, the third time I ended up in the hospital that year. And I had pneumonia for the third time. I had an infection in my blood that had come from my intestines. And my body was just, I felt like it was failing me. I didn't even recognize my own body anymore. And I knew in that moment when I was being taken by ambulance to the ER yet again that I couldn't go on much longer like that. And I decided, okay, I'm going to have the surgery because that option is better than the life I'm living now, because I'm literally just stuck in bed all day long and I don't really have any other options. The medications are only making things worse, and antibiotics are beginning to have more serious side effects. And, you know, my doctor had basically told me that I have the surgery and everything will be sunshine and rainbows and I'll be good to go. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunately not what happened. And I had the surgery, my entire large intestine removed, and the very last part of my small intestine that was obstructed as well. In 2011, February 4th, and after that, it took me so long to recover. It just took a full 6 months for me to recover from the surgery, and my immune system was just not rebounding. And I stopped medications right before surgery, as they basically required me to. And my doctor wanted me to start them again. And at that point, I was at, you know, it was no longer worth it to me to take medications because I recognized what they were doing to my immune system. And so I kind of got to figure out another way to do this. And it was over the course of 2 years that I was trying different diets and just trying different things to see if they work. And it happened to be 2 years since my surgery, February 4th, 2013, that I was so sick in bed and just so frustrated and didn't really know what to do next. And one of my doctors called me and wanted to do sinus surgery because I was still getting tons of sinus infections. I was on antibiotics all the time. And he wanted to schedule a CT scan as well. And that was, I'll never forget that moment, because that was my ultimate rock bottom, where I didn't have, you know, 6 feet of intestine removed to have yet again another surgery. And so I told him, give me 60 days. If I cannot figure this out on my own, I'll do whatever you want. You know, I'll do the surgery, whatever. And so that very day, I ended up switching my diet entirely to a paleo diet. And I kind of heard of paleo before. I had some friends that were doing it and said how great they felt, but I didn't know what to expect. I tried different diet changes and didn't really have much outcome. Some made me feel worse. Some made me feel only slightly better. And it was within 30 days that my life just completely flipped around. I had more energy than I'd ever had in my entire life. It was day 21. I'll never forget. I bounced out of bed and I couldn't remember ever doing that in my entire life. Yeah.
1997 to 2013, and it takes 21 days to get better. Yeah. I mean, if anyone out there is listening, just the power of food and reversing, you know, the trajectory of our health and how profound it is. I mean, her story, you know, how many years is that? Almost 10, 15 years, and then 21 days to get better. So it was really going paleo that's essentially what you were doing in those 21 days, correct? It was really following the paleo diet. And what were the biggest changes? You know, a lot of us who are listening understand paleo now and are familiar with it, but when it came to you and trying to apply paleo into your new lifestyle, what do you think the biggest change was for you? Like, what was the biggest challenge? What was the biggest change? Looking back, what do you think was maybe the one or two trigger things that you were doing that was perpetuating your disease?
Oh my goodness. It was complete opposite of everything I was doing. I started having literally no idea what I was doing, but I knew I kind of had no choice at that point. I just had to give it my all. And thankfully I have a very patient husband who just helped me figure it out along the way. And it was really, I mean, my diet before was literally cereal for breakfast, sandwich for lunch, pasta for dinner. And, you know, through my entire life, I was told by every doctor that diet was the one thing that played absolutely no role in my disease. It didn't matter what I ate. And kid, I was always extremely underweight just because of my disease. So it was only about making sure that I ate enough, whatever that was. And this completely just shifted my entire outlook on food and how I'm nourishing my body and started to make real common sense. You know, I have a disease that's in my gut, and the food that I eat goes right there. And so I shifted, you know, everything that I was eating. I got rid of all the grains, all the gluten. That was probably the biggest thing for me. Getting rid of dairy. I did eat a lot of dairy back then, so that was probably another huge shift. And I really went into it thinking, okay, I'll do this for 30 days, and then I'll reintroduce everything, and I'll go back to how I was eating. I didn't want to change my diet. Most people don't want to change what they're eating. And when I started to feel better, when I got that glimmer of hope, I knew there was absolutely no going back, and I would do whatever it took. And I really found a way to make this lifestyle so much fun and super easy and so sustainable, and that's why I've been able to do it for, you know, 4+ years now. So it's been incredible.
Fantastic. And so now, applying paleo to your regular life now, are you on medication today?
I am not. I no longer take any medication.
Wow. So no medication, no surgery since going paleo back in 2013, mm-hmm. correct? And
yep.
any flares? Have you had any flares at all from 2013 to today or no?
I have not. I have had twice. I actually have landed in the hospital for obstructions in my mm-hmm. small intestine. Probably, honestly, they don't really know why, but my intuition just is telling me it's probably because I don't have a large intestine. And mm-hmm. At that time, things that I was eating were, I mean, I don't seem to have any trouble digesting fiber as long as I'm moving and stuff, but I happen to be in the car for 6 hours and eating a ton of fiber. And just, I think, the combination of that ended up being up in the hospital. But both times that I ended up in the hospital were for short stays, and I rebounded so quickly, and realizing even going into it, all the nurses and doctors saying how incredibly healthy I was, and they couldn't but basically believe how fast that I rebounded from everything. And it was mm-hmm. both times were just this huge reminder of why I do what I do, because had I gone into the hospital sick or not feeling my best, it would take me so much longer to recover. But both times it's like it was less than a week and I bounced back to 100%. So that's
amazing.
Great reminder of why I do this.
Yes, that's amazing. And a lot of times too, those adhesions and flares from adhesions are from previous surgeries, you know, so
mm-hmm,
you know, you're doing your best job with food, then some of the stuff from the past can jump back up to bite you. But I mean, again,
exactly.
for anybody out there listening who's suffering from any GI disease, I would honestly say any autoimmune disease, the power of food, the power of the gut, we've talked about so many times before. We really know the gut is ground central, ground zero when it comes to inflammation and driving the inflammatory process. And when you can really fix that digestive process, whether through food or improving how you metabolize your food, and that means managing all the other aspects around it, that's when we see results.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it in practice, and we see it in your story. And again, you know, the years of trying medications, being in and out of the hospitals, having complications and side effects, and then 21 days to get better. I mean, if that's not motivation for everybody out there listening, I don't know what is. Do you now today, I'm just curious, like going paleo, I think it's much easier to navigate the restaurant scene. Do you eat out a lot? Do you cook a lot? What are some of your favorite paleo breakfasts or lunches? I'm just curious to see how you make it a reality for your lifestyle.
Absolutely. I do find dining out actually fairly easy. You know, usually people want me to pick the restaurant. I'm like, I don't care. I'll find something anywhere because I know just how to easily make it work. And these days, especially, honestly, we've come so far in even just the past 4 years. Because when I was first starting out, there
Definitely.
Were not many snack options. There were not many pre-made things available. And now they're around every corner. You can literally find great, healthy, you know, protein bars that fit into your lifestyle pretty much anywhere these days. So I can always find something somewhere. And I do eat out on occasion, that's for sure. Probably once to twice a week, and I do cook a lot at home. What really makes it so simple for me, and basically why I wrote an ebook on it, is my husband and I both just eat pretty simple protein veggies and mix it up with different sauces. And that's how we keep things exciting and new without having to cook every single night. Because in all reality, you know, I have a very rich schedule, and I'm not going to be cooking every single day, every single night, making fresh dinners, making fresh lunches and breakfast. And as far as like say my favorite breakfast. I actually don't eat breakfast all that often, but when I do eat breakfast, it's usually a good amount of protein. So say like eggs and some chorizo or bacon or something like that. And then I almost always have some sort of greens with it, which is so interesting because I forget that that's not normal to have veggies for breakfast. But
right,
I love having veggies for breakfast. It's like my favorite thing now. So some sort of greens, whether it's kale or spinach or broccoli or something like that, I love having that for breakfast. And then
do you do a lot of like protein smoothies or things like that, or not necessarily?
I'll do some protein smoothies for sure. Usually I start every day with, I'm sure you've heard of collagen peptides. So I'll put that in my morning drink. And I just love having collagen. It's done wonders for my skin and my bones, my hair and my gut and all of that. And so usually that's what I start every day with. And then lunch is typically kind of whatever leftover protein I have in the fridge, made into right now a giant salad because it's, you know, nice warm weather out. And then in the wintertime, usually I'll make kind of a soup with it with homemade bone broth and just keep it super simple. And then dinner is either leftovers of something that I've kind of batch cooked or some side of protein. And right now I am super into yams. I'm really loving yams right now. So I've been having a lot of those. And then some sort of veggie. And I just keep
I was going to say, like, no, you're kind of like me. We're not complicated cooks. You know, we're just very like,
no,
throw some stuff together. Let's make it quick and easy and fast and get everybody moving. And so it doesn't sound like you're consuming much or any grain, correct? Or
I do
no
actually,
sugar.
So I stuck to strict paleo, so no grains at all for 2 years. And that's what I really felt like my gut was in really good shape after that. And so I started to experiment with different foods, you know, I felt. And I found that I actually do well with some gluten-free grains, especially white rice. Now I am incredibly active, whereas before I was literally just lying in the bed all day. And now I'm active throughout the day. I hike with my dogs. I do very intense training in the gym. And I found that, for me, white rice actually does really well and helps with my workouts and my recovery. So I do that probably a few times a week. White rice and yams are definitely my favorite carbs of choice.
So that's interesting too, because from a Chinese medicine standpoint and an Ayurvedic standpoint, rice is considered the most easily digestible grain, and yam in Chinese medicine is considered one of the most nurturing roots, you know. And so for a lot of listeners out there, you know, I hope you're catching kind of the balance she's achieving over the years of her recovery. You know, when she's depleted or weak, which is a common Chinese medicine concept, your qi is weak, that is not a time, you know, to get out there and exercise heavily and to really push your body. You need to recover, you need to rejuvenate. So she was okay going without grains at that point, but fast forward, she's better, she's healthy, she's moving, she's active, then it's okay to bring in some of these easily digestible grains. And as I'm listening to your story, I'm also listening for all the medical undertones, because I deal with this all the time. So it sounds like you may have had bacterial overgrowth as a root issue for your Crohn's, and removing the grains may have indirectly fixed it and eased the work of digestion, which has allowed your gut to heal. And that is why today you're able to go back and introduce these things in small quantities. So, you know, it's fascinating
to see. And
to observe, you know, for everybody out there, it's so important to remember that the body has a tremendous capacity to heal. I've seen bodies that have been literally beaten up in different ways, but it reverses when you provide it what it needs. So please never give up hope, you know, and never feel like you're, you know, alone and you're a victim of a disease. The body does heal. I've seen it time and time again. And I think Kristen's story is one that just is such a display and a testament to that. Kristen, after this experience, you know, and this journey, what are you doing? You know, what is your goal? What is your mission? What are you doing with this sort of richness that you've inherited by having to go through this?
My goal is really just to share my story with the world and create positive change, because I know that there are so many people out there suffering, as I'm sure you know, and there many of them are needlessly suffering, and I just hope to show people that there's another way. And I always, you know, want to show people that I'm not super dogmatic with any kind of my approach, and I think that stress is just so huge. So if you're completely stressing yourself out, I personally don't think that, you know, I'd be eating the best diet in the world, but if I were just completely stressed the whole time, I don't think it would really matter that much. So I think finding the balance, finding what works for you, and just really showing people that there's alternative ways, because I came from a place where I was so completely conventionally minded, and for years I relied on someone else to heal me. And it's no coincidence that in the end that I ended up healing myself through a completely non-conventional way. And it just opened my mind to what's possible. And I want people to see, you know, to believe in what's possible.
I couldn't have said it better. I think the bottom line message for this episode is that you can heal yourself. When you heal yourself, you see the possibilities. You build that bridge that I keep trying to talk about and keep trying to explain, that your health is your life, and you have to build a bridge that connects the two. If you don't, then honestly, every aspect of your life is impacted. Your relationships, your physical sense of yourself, even the jobs you pick, the people you choose to be around, you, every decision of your life is influenced by your health and by your chemistry, and you can heal yourself. Kristen, thank you so much for taking the time out today to share your story. You know, for all of you out there listening, if you suffer from Crohn's disease or you know somebody that suffers from an autoimmune disease, please have them listen to this episode. You can learn more about Kristen and her story on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, or Twitter. It's Living Loving Paleo. Instagram is at Living Loving Paleo. And then her ebook is Get Sauced. Kristen, thanks again. And thanks for inspiring, hopefully, thousands of women out there and men who are listening to your story today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be on your show.
Well, thank you. And we'll bring you back to see what else you're up to maybe 6 months from now. How's that?
Sounds great.
All right. Take care.